Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
The ATP uses buzzwords like reimagining, reinventing, right-sized street, flexible streets, when suggesting to transfer existing road wealth paid for by 92% of the population to another disadvantaged group in the name of economic opportunity for all, or maybe the uncomfortable recreational bike rider. But since the ATP notes that the Pensacola's strong economy helped it be selected as one of the top 100 cities in America, isn't it already a paradise that offers economic opportunity for all?
This is Joe Wade. As far as I know, just a citizen speaking at the Pensacola City Council meeting on Thursday, where they were voting not on a particular project or any particular decision about how to change roadways in Pensacola, but in general on the active transportation plan, which was presented to them, a 104-page document. I have read it. You should, if you care about this stuff. It's a very interesting document. But what Joe was pointing out in his comments was that the document is saturated with a bias. And I agree with his assessment. The bias is in favor of bicycles and pedestrians and self-propelled transportation, okay, which would include skateboards and roller skates. They don't talk much about that, and scooters and all that, versus cars. And he points out, for example, one place in the document where it tells you who owns what, and it says 8% own no car at all and 40% own one car. But it doesn't include the corollary statistic of, well, that leaves 52% of the people who own two cars or more. And it's kind of like that, okay? The overall plan, if you read it and if you pay attention, is it's anti-car. Or it's less car. And it's slower car. And it's fewer car. And it's do things in other ways. And, you know, in general, that might sound like a good thing when you say it's pro-bike and it wants to create safety and bike lanes and buffered bike lanes and all of this. But what Joe points out, and I think he's right about this, is there is a wealth transfer or a road wealth transfer from car drivers who have paid for the creation of cars through their taxes and their gas tax towards a mode of transportation that people wish we would use more, some of them, but we are clearly not willing to use more, which is, you know, bikes and pedestrians. And so, look, and I'm speaking about this as a bicyclist. My wife and I go biking. You know, we have biked almost all of both counties now. And so we have biked a lot. And I have been on very unsafe roads. There are a lot of unsafe roads in this area where you don't want to be bicycling. And we have bicycled those areas. And I've been on safer roads. And I've been on some of the weird ones like Highway 98 where you've got now bike lanes. But sometimes you're like driving between the kinds of traffic. One's in the turn lane and one's in the regular. And where it's not swept and it's not maintained. And it's actually very bad. We've lost how many tires on Highway 98 because it's not properly swept. And but just, you know, there's all kinds of issues even once you make it so-called safe for bikes where it's not really. But here's the thing. Even if you redesign the roads in Pensacola to make them more bike safe, bike friendly, and more pedestrian friendly, does it mean that the 92% of people who rely on a car to get places are going to start relying on a bike to get places? I don't buy it. It's Florida. It's 100 degrees today. Who's out biking for 6 months of the year as a form of transportation? Other times of the year, maybe so. Okay, maybe so. But generally speaking, you know, I don't see it. Now, Karen Emanuel, she's not, I think, just a member of the West Florida Wheelmen, but she says this is good for a variety of reasons.
Many cities are increasingly focusing on building safer bike and pedestrian infrastructures. Why is this? It's because it makes cities more livable and encourages more people to bike and walk. Cities can see many benefits from having a robust transportation system, which includes bike paths, bike lanes, sidewalks, crosswalks, and measures to encourage slower vehicle speeds. There are benefits that include safety, health, economic benefits, environmental benefits, and access benefits.
Okay, All of that sounds good, but at what cost? See, environmental benefits, well, less emissions, right? Less pollution. Okay. Do you buy into that worldview? Okay. More equity for people who can't afford a car. Well, that's only 8% of the people. Should we be redesigning our entire transportation network around those people? I don't buy that argument. And again, I'm a bicyclist, okay? But we drive our car to go places. Bicycling is entertainment and recreation for us. And yes, there are places where it's unsafe or it's less safe than it could be. But I don't know that spending what will eventually wind up being millions of dollars in order to make some, what seems to me, okay, a pie-in-the-sky notion of this bike-friendly paradise that looks like some college campus instead of looks like an urban city. You know, downtown, I see the argument more where there's density. I see the argument more where there's, you know, Main Street and, you know, I mean, Cervantes is a weird one, okay, because there's been a lot of accidents there, and how to solve that's a unique problem. But, you know, Palafox, I see some areas where it seems to make sense, but all around town, like, you know, Creighton, Scenic, you know, Spanish Trail, at least there's a lot of right-of-way at Spanish Trail. There's a lot of, you could, it's very easy to do there, but this seems to me like nobody's asking the question of, and what's the loss to drivers and what's the cost to drivers? Because drivers are the main thing. We'll come back to this in a second because there's another element of safety that I haven't talked about yet. 437-1620. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
What, so for the good for the many outweighs the few? You're a socialist,
yes.
McKay. This brought to you by
the
executive.
Many who pay, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, let me write that down, so I'll bring it up later. Just kidding. Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get that job done. Small enough to care. 250-3756 for your no-hassle estimate. Accident on Quintet in Renfro. It's tying things up. Blocked in both directions on Quintet. This is east of Wallace Lake Road, east of the shooting center. Another accident. This is on Pine Forest and Kersey near the Boot Store. Now it's backed up southbound. This is north of Five Flags Speedway. So just something else to keep in mind. Be careful. If you have traffic tips, send them in. 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. What was the bicycle traffic report? Do you have anything for that? Okay. So
you know what? No, never mind.
Okay. Yeah. But let me give you kind of the other side of this argument. And let me say it this way. This argument or this plan, my opinion, my read, I've read it, okay, is very much written from the paradigm of cars bad, bikes good. Because there are a small number of people in our community who are really passionate about bikes being good and to some degree therefore cars being bad. I just don't think that's most people. I don't think that's everybody. I could be wrong. I could, maybe 50,000 Pensacolians are eager to ditch their cars. Both of them. You know, but I don't see that. So instead I'm looking at this from a driver's perspective, which I am and many of you are, and you know, thinking about what would be the consequence of making a less car friendly and a more bike friendly community. And, you know, look, Jared Moore, who I respect greatly, he says it's good to see us evolving in our understanding.
If you look at the advent of the automobile, it's incredible. It's amazing what it does. You can get from point A to point B incredibly fast. And just like when I was in grade school, we went through our list of planets, and Pluto was one of them. But we learned things, and Pluto's not included anymore, right? Or maybe they put it back in. I don't know. But we evolve and develop new knowledge and information and understanding.
And that same thing he says applies to cars. We're getting a different understanding of cars. Allison Patton.
Certainly residents of District 6 are very interested in bikeability, walkability. I've heard it, you know, over and over again when I was running for office and even today. So I'm very happy that we have a plan.
Here's my supposal, though. My supposition is that if you redesign the streets and you really could accomplish what this active transportation plan envisions, you would make things less pleasant for drivers and they'd be the ones yelling at you during your campaigning. That's my theory. It's not great for the bicyclists right now, but the cost would be to the drivers and the cost would be to the drivers. And I think you'd have them yelling at you if you wound up doing a lot of this stuff. But safety is one of the key things. They are after a Vision Zero concept, something which FDOT and federal DOT is after, which is to have zero deaths. And it sounds like a great thing. Sounds like a great thing. We've had deaths. There are many. There's a very interesting map in the ATP that shows you where the deaths have happened, where the crashes have happened, where you can see. It's a very thorough review. Okay, you ought to read it if you've got the time. It takes take about a half hour to read it all. It's 100 pages, but it's not 100 pages. Okay, and you know, getting to where there's zero deaths sounds like a great goal. It sounds like it.
If I'm going,
as Casey Jones said,
if I'm going to a hospital, I'm not going to go to a hospital that says it's okay if we have two people that die this year because we made a mistake. I'm not going to go to that hospital. I want to go to a place that has a goal of zero deaths. And I think as a city, that maybe it's not realistic, but it's something we should strive for and something that we should have down on paper. So I think that that is a good goal for us to have. Maybe we don't achieve it. If we don't achieve it, we just have to work harder.
Okay. As a metaphor, I'm not sure this is a great one. Here's why. Sure, you don't want to go to a hospital where what they're thinking about is, you know, allowing an acceptable number of deaths. But a hospital is not a city. A city has other concerns like economic growth and the facilitation of transportation of goods and services and visitors who come here and spend their money and drive here from other places. I mean, there are other concerns for a city besides being just a hospital. But here's the thing. Nobody believes in Vision Zero. Nobody. Because we all get in a car every single day and put our lives at risk and put the lives of our families and our neighbors and our kids and our neighbors' kids at risk driving. We know cars are dangerous, and yet we all drive them. And people die, and people get hurt, and nobody thinks that's a good thing, but we all accept that as the risk of engaging in this thing called transportation, every single one of us. Unless you drive 15 miles an hour everywhere you go. Because that's what we could do. We could make all the streets 15 miles an hour. They'd be safe for bikes. They'd be safe for pedestrians. Everybody would take forever to get anywhere they're going to go, but we would be safe. That would be Vision Zero. We would get no deaths. Are we willing to do that? Because that's the problem with this report, is it doesn't have the balancing interest of the drivers in mind. The city was built by and for drivers, and now we're trying to spend all this money. Again, not that this commits us to it, but the idea here is to spend all this money to completely revamp something that, in my opinion, is not broken and would be inconvenient for the vast majority of the 92% of people that get around by driving. And I hate to be the guy who's up here defending, like, you know, hey, it's okay to have a few people get injured and die. But in the grand scheme of the trade-off we make for transportation, value, productivity, economic growth, the opportunity to go to this restaurant and go to that store and take your kids to that school, that's a trade-off we all make. Everybody drives. We drive faster than we should. But we do it as a collective, as a society. And unless we're willing to, I mean, because again, Vision Zero, we could do it with 15-mile-an-hour speed limits. But we're not willing to. Now, I know that's a sort of an exaggeration, but when I read this report written primarily by bicycle advocates and car sort of by default anti-advocates, I read it as an attack on the car driving ecosystem that we all exist in. And that frustrates me because this passed with a 7-0 vote in the city council. And even though the one guy, Joe Wade, gets up there and gives some, what I thought were some pretty passionate criticisms of this approach, I didn't hear the members of council really considering the criticism he was giving, and that's why I wanted to amplify it some here today. 723 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What do you think? 437-1620, should we be redesigning our entire infrastructure around safety and bicycles and pedestrians? Or should we be doing as best as we can within the existing infrastructure to continue to facilitate car and truck traffic and make it safer with that not as the primary thing, but that as an important thing? Those are the questions. Option one or option two? I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
It's not if, but it's when. James chapter 1 reminds us that facing trials is not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. And because trials will come, it is wise for us to be ready to handle them when they do. Just like if you're in a situation where you must physically fight, if the fight is unexpected, you might get sucker punched. But if you have your back foot planted and your shoulders squared up, you're ready to defend yourself, therefore your chances of victory have increased greatly. James chapter 1 prepares Christians to spiritually fight through the trials and understand God's purpose in allowing that trial. I want to encourage you to read closely James 1, 2 through 12, and ask God for a fresh dose of His wisdom as you fight through the trials of life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Hey, it's Jesse Kelly. When a restaurant closes, my reaction is, that sucks. They had good steak. When regional banks close, or three of them close overnight, it freaks me out. This is why I have my own personal gold reserve. It's part of my personal protection plan. Call my friends at Oxford Gold Group. Call 833-404-GOLD. 833-404-GOLD. That's 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Pregnancy can be an exciting time, but for many moms, it can mean feeling anxious, depressed, confused, or overwhelmed. Either during pregnancy or after having your baby, you may not quite feel like yourself. If you're experiencing these feelings, you are not alone, and mental health issues can be treated. Talk with your OB or connect with a mental health provider in your area by visiting flbhimpact.org. This message is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, 9 to 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, I want to ask you something. I want you to be real honest with me. You think I need to lose some weight?
Hustling Paul Newman in the follow-up to The Hustler. That's such a great scene. 726 News Radio 92.3. Candy has got traffic on the fives.
And watching a few areas of concern. And by the way, thank you again for texting in your traffic tips. Keep the number in your phone so you can text us always. 437-1620. Accident on Quintet and Renfro tying things up. Again, blocked in both directions on Quintet. This is east of the shooting center and east of Wallace Lake Road on Quintet. Road work on Detroit between Fowler and Highway 29, so that traffic is restricted to one lane. That's where that tie-up is. And then another accident. This is on Pine Forest and Kersey, kind of near the Boot Store. Now, it's backed up southbound, and this is north of Five Flags Speedway. If you have traffic tips, again, text them in, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah, I've got an enormous number of texts in on this subject of the bike-friendly active transportation plan. I'll get to those in a second. David is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The central U.S. entering a potentially brutal heat wave as temperatures soar today. Temps forecast to increase all the way from the Gulf Coast up to Minnesota. Mercury could reach north of 100 degrees for the rest of the week. Heat warnings and advisories in place in 18 different states. A private equity company reportedly closing in on a deal to buy Subway for $9 billion. The Wall Street Journal reporting that Rourke Capital is the leading candidate to purchase the restaurant chain. Rourke Capital already owns Jimmy John's. And more than 3,000 movie theaters will be offering discounted tickets on Sunday.
In honor of National Cinema Day, all movies in all formats will cost less than $4. That even includes Oppenheimer in IMAX if showtimes aren't already sold out. This marks the second annual National Cinema Day hosted by the Cinema Foundation. Last year's event was the most attended day at the movies in 2022. I'm Mark Mayfield.
I think that's great. I'm wow. looking, I'm, Four, I might go $4. To the theaters on Sunday. $4 for IMAX? I'll take it.
I could
it.
Almost afford that.
I know,
David,
right?
Thanks so much for the update.
Thanks, Radio. Hey, go get yourself a bagel before Brent Lane eats them all.
Got some of the texts in here on this issue of bikes versus cars and the active transportation plan. Somebody says, where's the economic impact to downtown when you make downtown less car-friendly? Somebody here says, who are the primary users of sidewalks and bike paths daily, not including weekends and special events? I might be wrong, but it appears to be mostly the homeless across Escambia County. So the rest of us pay millions to make homelessness more convenient. Somebody here says,
because they obey all the traffic rules when you're driving in the morning. Go ahead.
Thanks, Andrew. Did you participate in one of the Summit Boulevard public sessions on the bike-friendly topic? They showed a similar bias against cars for bikes is what they implied there. So let's see. Somebody here says, this is John Hutchinson. Our good friend John Hutchinson says, you're exactly right on the transportation report. they can have my car when they can pry it out of my cold. You get where that's going?
What are you driving, John?
Yeah, right.
I love it. I love it.
Somebody says option two, that's the do as much as you can within a framework that is primarily car-centric. Somebody here says driving. I need gas. Gas tax pays for roads. Less driving, less taxes. Are they going to tax the bicycles and the pedestrians to maintain the roads that are spending money on those people for? Somebody here says... it's more important in my mind to correct the parking problem so the cars have a place to stay and people can walk and bike and scoot around downtown where it's more dense as they wish. And somebody else said, this is an important point, bikes are good, but heat and humidity are overpowering. And that's one of the issues here is, like, again, we got 5 or 6 months out of the year where nobody's going to bike as an option just for transportation's sake because cars are faster and also the air conditioning. Anyway, so this is just, I think this is an important thing and I hope City Council is listening about this.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The President and First Lady traveled to Maui, comforting those whose lives were ruined by the wall of flames.
I want you to know, on behalf of the United States of America, all the nation, the American people stand with you.
At least 115 are confirmed dead, hundreds still unaccounted for. A soaking today for most of the Texas Gulf Coast from the fast-moving tropical storm Harold, wind speeds 45 miles per hour. Crews clearing out the mess left behind from the flooding and mudslides in the Palm Springs area from Tropical Storm Hillary. The city's mayor, Grace Garner.
There is still extensive damage to roads and into different communities.
This man lives in Palm Springs.
Coachella Valley is ill-prepared for any kind of flooding because we're in the desert, but they're really not prepared for this type of emergency.
America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31. News Radio 92.3. It is 80 degrees right now in Pensacola. Several inmates stabbed at the Century Correctional Institution over the weekend. The facility called for ambulances after four inmates were injured about 8:45 Sunday morning. Correctional officers said four inmates were hurt. Two had to be flown to the hospital for further evaluation. That incident right now being investigated by the Office of Inspector General. Right now, no word on the inmates' current condition or the severity of their injuries. Governor DeSantis in Northwest Florida campaigning yesterday.
When we get in January of 2025, we are going to reverse Bidenomics on day one. We're going to take all of his executive orders, all of his regulations, we're going to grab them, and we're going to throw them in the trash can where they belong.
And he was at the golf on Okaloosa Island. A big crowd of supporters on hand. He now heads to Milwaukee for the primary debate on Wednesday. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office says the Blanchard Judicial Building was closed yesterday for about a half an hour while they were looking into a bomb threat. Sheriff's Office spokesperson Morgan Lewis says the verbal threat was overheard by somebody inside the building. The building was evacuated while the investigation was done. The Judicial Center was reopened shortly after. There's no word if any suspects were taken into custody. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office says a woman shot at a store employee yesterday before shooting herself. The sheriff's office said it happened at the Smartville gas station on Pine Forest Road when they were called for a woman that was trespassing.
Trespassing, and the owner wanted her removed. By the time we got there, they had already moved to the outside, and she had pulled out a weapon, a firearm, and she had fired three times at the owner, missing him, fortunately.
And Sheriff Chip Simmons there, he says when deputies arrived, the woman shot herself. She was taken to the hospital in critical condition. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office says that its IT manager has been fired and arrested after a warrant was issued out of New Mexico. The Sheriff's Office says the warrant alleges sexual abuse of a child. This alleges it back in 1995 to 1997 in San Juan County, New Mexico. Sheriff Eric Aiden says 46-year-old Eli Lisco started as their IT manager last September, but was fired yesterday morning. Lisco was transported to the Okaloosa County Jail, where he's now awaiting extradition to New Mexico. An Osceola County woman facing charges now on her son's death. St. Cloud's Jasmine Kennedy was arrested yesterday after her son was found dead in their home. The sheriff's office says she's admitted to strangling the boy to death. No word on a motive. The 37-year-old facing charges, including domestic violence by strangulation and more charges, are possible. And the ECUA board today voting on their proposed rate increase. The rate hike up for its final vote this afternoon, including a 9.5% increase in sanitation rates and a 5% increase for water and sewer rates. The board will vote at their meeting this afternoon. That starts at 3 o'clock. And if you're a Tate High Aggies fan, well, you might notice something new when you go to the next ball game. New video scoreboard. That video screen was installed over the summer, paid for with private donations to the school. North Escambia .com talked with head coach Rhett Summerford, who says community support is a big part of the Aggies football program. That new video scoreboard will be used for play-by-play video, player spotlights and interviews, and also advertisements. 7:35, and Candy's got a look at our traffic.
Did you see the board? It's yes, cool looking, it is isn't so it? Neat. Yeah, North Escambia had a neat picture. Taking a look at our roads, this is brought to you by Coastal Machinery Company. With over 40 years in the business, locations in Pensacola and in Crestview. Road work on Detroit between Fowler and Highway 29. Traffic restricted to one lane. Looks like the accident there was an accident that's been cleared up near Wallace Lake Road. That is completely moved out of the way, so we're not showing any problems on Quintet. That's it, Quintet Road. And an accident on Pine Forest and Kersey now. Now, this is near the Boot Store, backed up southbound north of Five Flags Speedway. Careful there and wherever you are. If you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's going to be a hot day today with a heat advisory as well as an excessive heat watch in effect. We are going to be seeing temperatures in the upper 90s, feeling more like the triple digits, possibly up to 110. The heat will continue as you go through the nighttime, temperatures in the 80s overnight and getting possibly into the hundreds as we go into Wednesday. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And those temperatures climbing a little bit now. It's 80 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 78 in Milton, and those heat indexes getting up to the mid-90s right now. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. Two of Hollywood's most lucrative film franchises have fallen short at the box office this season, losing an estimated $100 million on their respective blockbuster films. Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 has amassed over $523 million internationally, while Harrison Ford's Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny has accrued $375 million, both big numbers when you're not acknowledging production and marketing costs. Variety reports the films are two of the most pricey in history, both costing about $300 million to make and at least $100 million to promote. Charles Schwab says it's preparing to reduce both its headcount and real estate footprint in a series of cost-cutting measures aimed at streamlining operations. The San Francisco-based brokerage giant says the moves are directly related to the integration of TD Ameritrade, which Schwab acquired in 2020. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a higher open this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
It's a celebration! Join us for the Impact 100 20th Anniversary Celebration on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Brownsville Community Center. This event is a celebration to honor two decades of empowering women and transforming lives in our community. sponsored by Jeff Vergosh County Commissioner, the Bear Family Foundation, Merrill Lynch, Synovus Bank, and Bodacious. Limited tickets are available, so visit impact100pensacola.org to buy your ticket today.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 740 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We have Sheriff Chip Simmons with us here in studio. Woo! Sheriff, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I was off last week and nothing happened. Oh, my God. Like, a number of things that have happened are just unbelievable. This Home Depot murder, and the text messages, and the mom, and... Oh my God, I don't even know where to start on this story, because reading, you know, it's one thing to kind of hear about this allegation and, you know, but I read the text message thread that WAR had and I thought, good Lord, your thoughts?
Well, I think that if you take it from the beginning, the information that we get initially is an active shooter. So now we're thinking, no, there's no way. So we're heading that way, and we get the scene secured. Sure enough, there is a female that was deceased, obviously deceased inside the store. Two others were injured with gunfire, and they were already being transported by themselves to the hospital. So we had to clear the building. We don't know who's in there. So as we're getting the information, getting the video to our deputies and to assisting agencies, Pensacola Police Department and the Florida Highway Patrol. Alleged killer. Anyways, the killer decides that he is going to give himself up, calls 911, we pick him up. So I'm back in my office, and they say, hey, we're doing some follow-up investigation, and he had an accomplice. I'm like, okay, I've heard that before, right? There's sure. No doubt. Because we have to figure out how to get here, who gave him the gun, we always do that right. Type of follow-up. In this case, they said, no, you're not going to believe it's the mother. I said, the mother? Yeah, and the mother was there at the store. They're at the store. Why was she at the store? Well, the mother gave the victim a ride to the store, and then she helped her son with, I'm like, wait, start over again.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're reading. So what happened was the suspect had what I call a level of cooperation. We get a search warrant. We get the text messages from his phone.
That he did not delete, even though saying they would or whatever, but glad they didn't.
Well... Yeah, I'm just saying there's a level of cooperation yep. on the suspect's part, and then we read what everyone now has read,
yeah.
And we put in our social media post because we wanted people to see what we see. Because if we just say, oh, we arrest her, we think she's involved, and people say, oh my gosh, how's he involved? She had love of a mother. I can't believe it. This is what we see. This is what's in the affidavit. This is what is in the arrest report. This is what evil looks like.
I mean, egging him on and insulting him if he doesn't
if
go
you don't
through
do
with
this,
it.
You're,
and the most important concern to her
right.
was don't catch me in the crossfire as you're shooting her.
Yeah, wait till she gets out. Or don't hurt my car.
Right.
Don't shoot my car up. Yeah. It was pretty cut and dry. We obviously picked her up, I think Washington County, Alabama. And so she's back in our quaint little town, and she'll respond to the charges.
And now, for her, okay, so I know for him it's a capital charge, okay, which mm-hmm. carries the possibility of the death penalty.
Right.
Does that also carry for her, too?
Yeah, I believe when you're a principal to the major crime, that's possible. I find it hard to believe if you're not the one that pulled the trigger, but it is a first-degree felony,
yeah,
at the very least. It's a murder charge.
Yeah, unbelievable. And then, of course, just yesterday we had a truly strange incident on Pine Forest. Could have been, I mean, it was bad. Could have been far worse. But what happened?
You know, the strange things just keep on coming in Escambia County. We have a long list of those things. But this case, yesterday morning, we had a call of a trespass, a simple trespassing call. A store owner wanted a woman that he claimed was acting erratic out of the store, Smartfield, I believe it is, on Pine Forest Road. So we start get our deputies en route, and as we're en route, we find out that they had moved the disturbance or the altercation outside. Then we find out that outside she pulls a gun from somewhere on her person and fires not once, not twice, but three times at the store owner. Fortunately, she misses him, but she then walks away. So we got the description as we get to the store of a female in a dress. So I think it's a blue dress. And our deputies are circulating, obviously, because now she's tried to shoot somebody.
Right.
That's a felony. And so and the deputy sees a woman fitting that description in the median right in between Pine Forest Road, between northbound and southbound, cars, trucks flying by.
45 miles an hour on either side, right.
I've seen a body camera, so I'm pretty clear on what took place. So he's talking to her, and she's complaining about the store owner, but we can't get close enough to her to really touch her and to put her under arrest. And she's walking away, backing away. You can tell she's a little leery. She wants to stay away. And as one of our marked cars comes to
that's,
assist.
And that's an awkward situation for you guys because it's traffic and you're in a car and you know she's
it's
been
not
shooting
a huge
gun.
Meet, right.
It's just it logistically challenging, for
right,
sure.
Right, yeah. And he's probably waiting for the second deputy to get there that can stop her from getting into traffic or
yep,
whatever.
Yep.
So the second deputy comes with cars with his lights on. And as she sees the second deputy, she just takes off running. And as she's turning
down the median
to take off to run, well, she's from the median on the edge of the roadway, and then she runs into the road. And in between the two, looks like north or southbound lanes. I can't tell which one it was on the body camera.
Yeah.
And then you could see in her hand, there is a chrome handgun. And as she takes probably 4 to 5 steps, she puts it to her head and pulls the trigger. It's just crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
And then, you know, of course, I mean, that's its own tragedy, but then your officers have to deal with that, the stuff they see, the stuff they question, could we have done better? What could we? I mean, maybe the answer is nothing, but they still have to live with having encountered that, which, you know, we talk about all the time, the mental health challenges that your officers deal with.
I don't think people understand what the men and women of law enforcement, EMS, see every day.
Yeah.
Certainly law enforcement, because I'll speak for
right.
my profession, because they're there. They're typically the first ones there. They're the ones that are talking to an individual beforehand. And then to see this happen, and you can hear the reaction of the deputies, oh my gosh, oh my, you know.
Yeah.
That's it's pretty harsh. But, I mean, he has to then pry the gun from the woman's hand. And then the firefighters get there, Escambia County Fire and Rescue get there, and do a fantastic job, by the way. Fantastic job with treating of this lady. They're all very kind, very, very supportive. It looks like she may have a gunshot wound to her cheek area, mm-hmm. and I don't know her condition right now. Certainly we hope that she survives this ordeal. But it just goes to show you some of the crazy things that law enforcement and how quickly things can change.
Yeah.
You know, you think that you just got someone, you know, that's a trespasser. You come to find out that you know, she had shot somebody, then come to find out she has a gun, come to find out that she's, you know, she tries to take her own life.
We're going to come back to this in just a second. Let's get, we're talking to Chip Simmons, Sheriff of Escambia County. Candy's got traffic for us.
Okay, the light at the fire station not working and keep changing, causing backup all the way past 10 Mile. That's southbound. Somebody texted that in, and thank you so much. There's a lot of accidents this morning. Vehicle crash with injuries, possible roadblock, Renfro and Quintet. Okay, that has been moved off to the side. Quintet is clear. Shemuckla Highway, Garden View Road in Milton showing an accident with a possible roadblock. Olive and Davis, 4-car accident and bumper to bumper, but got things backed up on Olive. 9.5 Mile on Highway 29 showing an accident with no roadblock. Pine Forest and Kersey was blocked just a little bit earlier in, this was, find it just real quick, backed up on Pine Forest and Kersey near the boot store, backed up southbound. That's north of Five Flags Speedway. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. We've had some others that were, you know, less atrocious but still pretty weird. You had a stabbing at Mugs and Jugs, but the guy who got stabbed started it, and it was ruled self-defense by the knife holder. Do I have that right?
That's correct. We got a report to a stabbing, and come to find out as our investigators and uniformed deputies get there, we find out that the person that got stabbed was the person that started it, that attacked the other individual defending himself, pulled a knife and stabbed him to protect himself. Yeah. And you can do that here.
Right. You don't have to use a gun.
You don't have to. Oh my gosh, he hit somebody. You can hit somebody that's hitting you. You can hit somebody that's attacking you. And quite frankly, if you feel your life is in danger, you can stab someone or shoot someone that is stabbing or shooting or trying to injure or kill you or another.
And no charges for the initial assailant either in this case?
Not yet. We're looking into it again. And I think that neither one wanted to press charges.
Okay.
Although we don't need that. We do take that into account whenever we're investigating. And plus, he got stabbed.
Yeah. So there was something right. Yeah. Then you had a strange one at Oakwood Terrace where the canine officer showed up and the canine officer actually wound up biting his handler. Is that right?
Yeah, what happened is we got a report of a domestic situation where an individual had a gun. I think he fired it or pointed a gun. I can't recall. And then he took off running. So our canine gets there to track him. Well, our canine does a good job, but because there's so many children and people around, the canine handler had the dog on the leash.
Okay.
He's on, a 6-foot leash. And when the dog sees the suspect, he wants to go and chase that suspect. That's what his job is.
Right.
He's expected to be released. Because that's the suspect right in front of me. You can almost read his mind. Dude, let me go. That's our guy.
Yeah.
The deputy, to his credit, decided it's not a good place to release the dog. And so he keeps the dog on the leash. And the dog gets upset, angry, and instinctively turns around and bites the deputy on the leg.
He's okay?
Yeah, the deputy's okay. He went to hospital just to get it treated. Because as you can imagine, it's a little dirty and had to be cleaned out. But he's walking around, maybe limping a little bit still. But again, you think, oh my gosh, how did that happen? And what happened because our canine handlers are trained to evaluate the scene, to evaluate the situation, and not just let our dogs roam free and ultimately...
If you see the bad guy in a group, you don't just shoot him because you might miss. And if you see a bad guy in a group, you don't just release the dog because the dog might... You don't know for sure. I mean, you know what you're supposed to do, but... And K-9's going to be back to active service. This is not a problem for him to be able to continue as an officer.
The dog was due to be retired here in a couple of months. So we went ahead and decided that dog can go ahead and retire.
Okay, which makes sense.
Yeah. Again, I think the important part here is that the canine handler used his judgment and decided not to let the dog loose.
Absolutely.
Because again, would the dog have gone after a suspect? I am certain. I have no doubt. However, there's always that chance. And in that environment with kids and everyone running around, they can be distracting to a dog. And I would hate for a child to be bit because, a suspect decides he's going to run from law enforcement.
Lone bad guy in a field, no problem.
Absolutely.
Bad guy in the midst of a bunch of people, including kids, you want to be safe.
Let's use our good judgment. And they did. And we have a fantastic canine unit. We really do. Lieutenant Biggs does a great job of training, and we're on top of all that.
And just this is kind of the last one, but this goes back right before I was on vacation. It was actually 2 weeks ago, I think. But you had two people wind up getting killed in a drive-by on Patricia Drive. But in the response to that, you had a deputy driving to the scene got into an accident, if I remember this correctly. You're looking like I didn't.
We did have a what I call a minor traffic accident in response to a shooting. I think one person got killed.
Yeah,
and one person got shot. I don't think.
But
there were
to me,
kills.
what it reminded me of, and that's why I wanted to highlight it, is that when you see people with their lights on, get out of the road, get out of the way, and let them do their jobs. Right.
Well, we don't put our lights and sirens on for no reason. We do that only because, in fact, in our on our policy is that to respond with lights and sirens, you now have to get permission from a supervisor, because the supervisor monitoring the radios, and what they'll say, for those of you who really care, is they'll say 1018, which is emergency response, and then the dispatcher will say, supervisor, are you aware of that?
Yeah.
And they'll say go ahead and do that, because sometimes we can have three or four cars respond what we call emergency response 1018, but the rest of them, if you're coming from too far away, we don't need you to do that. So we've come a long way.
You learned a lot.
In the 80s when I was there, when you had something going on, our whole plan was to get there as quickly as we possibly can. So we would do blue lights and sirens almost every time.
All
we'd get
time.
There quickly.
appropriate response to the danger and to the resources needed to task to it. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff, as always, sir, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you again next week. Hopefully it's less eventful.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. 754 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Climatech, heating and cooling is what we know. Call 857-4700.
This is the time of year when team spirit takes center stage. Hello everyone, Travis Thompson here from Climatech of Professional Air, your independently owned American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. This time of year, folks living in the South naturally turn their interest towards supporting their favorite football team. Everyone loves a championship team, and in recent years, we've had our share of those. We like to think we've built a championship team when it comes to serving your heating and air conditioning needs. We go the extra mile to deliver honest, courteous service and top-of-the-line products at a fair price. So no matter whose team you're pulling for, choose the championship team of Climatech of Professional Air for your home's heating and cooling needs. Climatech of Professional Air.
Climatech, Climatech, heating and cooling is what we know. Call 857-4700.
Did you hear the good news that maintaining a 2023 Volkswagen Atlas, Atlas Cross Sport, Taos, and ID4 costs less than their respective Toyota, Honda, and Subaru competitors? And the really good news is these VWs are all at Piedmore Imports. Drive the 2023 Jetta Sport from $23,399, the crossover VW Taos S from $25,599. The Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology is on sale from $39,799. And the family-sized VW Atlas SE with technology is now from $42,199. Plus the VW ID4, the all-new electric SUV, is now from $36,836. So don't miss your chance to own the smarter choice, a Volkswagen from Piedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports is on New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Price before sales, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. ID4 discount includes $7,500 manufacturer rebate. Cost of maintenance based on 2023 study by VinCentric. See dealer for details.
Work, kids, finances. Your life has lots of moving parts. Let Gulf Winds help you keep them all moving forward. Our free digital banking tools make it easy for busy bill payers to manage the day-to-day. Our simple applications and low loan rates get mommy chauffeurs on the road fast. And our free accounts and low fees put extra cash in pockets so weekend warriors can have a splash more fun. We're here for you and everyone, living life to the fullest. How can we move you forward? See all the ways at GoGulfWinds.com. Federally insured by NCUA.
This Friday at 10:30, join the Pensacola Humane Society on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Listen this Friday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
More news, more talk with Markley Van Kevin Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You are hanging on by a very thin thread. And I dig that about you.
Cuba Gooding Jr.'s best performance.
He won the Oscar for that?
I think he might have. 7:58 News Radio 92.3. We're super late to traffic, but go ahead, Candy. Tell them anyway.
Okay. There's a lot. Taking a look around the area. Pine Forest and Kersey Road. This is right near the Boot Store, and I am showing a backup on Pine Forest Road. That is southbound. Softly Field Road, Mobile Highway in Pensacola is showing an accident, but not a roadblock. 29 and 9.5 miles showing an accident without a roadblock. Olive and Davis, possible roadblock. It was backed up on Davis earlier. Four-car accident, maybe 20 minutes ago near Olive and Davis, and it is backed up bumper to bumper. The accident on Quintet, it looks like it has been moved off to the side, so there shouldn't be too many problems getting where you're going on that side. And road work on Detroit between Fowler and Highway 29. That traffic is restricted to one lane. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
All right, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
There's backlog in the Panama Canal, likely to cause supply chain delays for the rest of the
30,
year.
60, 90 days delay. And so that for consumers could mean something you thought would be in September, October, may arrive December, January, for example.
And that's Alan Bayer, the CEO of a logistics company. Panama Canal hit by drought. Container ships not able to get through. Experts say home building supplies are likely to be several months out.
Yeah, if the Panama Canal can't function properly, that's bad. Wow. Thanks for the uplifting news note at the end of the hour, David.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A serious crash yesterday on Highway 90 claimed the life of an Idaho woman. We've got more on that after this update from Fox News at News Radio 92.3.